I will call the Siskiyou County Planning Commission regular meeting, January 15th, 2025, to order. Would you please all rise and join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Hart.
Here.
Commissioner Mello.
Here.
Commissioner Beal.
Here.
Commissioners, well, Chair Fowle is not here. Hopefully he's coming, and Chair Linder, Commissioner Linder's absent. The microphones don't work, and we'll tell you about it after the meeting.
Well, I like that. That can happen all the time.
Okay.
Well, you'll just have to speak up, though.
So should we bypass the election of the chair and go on until he gets here?
No.
Huh?
No. You're not here, you suffer the consequences.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
They did that to Danielle one year. She was gone, and she got kicked his chair.
No, we're not going to do that.
Oh, Tommy.
Okay, approval of the minutes of November 20, 2024.
Okay, we can't do those because we don't have a quorum.
Okay, I'll come back to that. Or pass the heck gap or whatever. Any person may address the commission.
Wait a minute. We have December minutes we could approve.
Oh, okay. There we go. December 18th, 2024. We have a quorum for that.
Yes.
I will entertain a motion to approve.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
How many does it take to make a quorum? It takes three.
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 Yes.
Yeah, but Tony wasn't here for the meeting, so he can't.
Any person may address the commission on any subject matter within the jurisdiction or responsibility of the commission at the beginning of the meeting, or may elect to address the commission on any agenda item at the time the item is called by the chair, but before the matter is acted upon by the commission. Unscheduled comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Any comments?
Affirmed.
Guess not. Conflict of interest declaration. Presentation of documents. Anybody have a conflict?
No.
No, okay. Bear with me here, I'm a little out of practice. The presentation of documents are listed in the agenda. The available of public records related to open session items on this agenda, which are not exempt from disclosure pursuant to the California Public Records Act, that are distributed to a majority of the legislative body, will be available for public inspection at 806 South Main Street, Yreka, California, 96097, at the same time that the public records are distributed or made available to the members of the legislative body. All project documents are on file at the Planning Commission Division of Siskiyou County Community Development Department, 806 South Main Street, Yreka, California, 96097, and available for public review. Right of appeal. Project Services Planning Commission meeting may be subject to appeal within 10 calendar days of today's meeting. If the 10th day falls on the weekend, the appeal must be received the following business day. Please contact the county clerk for information. Appeals must be submitted to the county clerk's office together with an appeal fee of $1,250. If you challenge the environmental review or the projected proposal in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues raised in the public hearing or written correspondence delivered to Siskiyou County Planning at or prior to the public hearing. Any changes to the agenda?
No.
No changes.
The new business, item number one.
In walks our chair.
Uh-oh.
You're limping. Oh, I've done 9 games already since Monday.
Oh, what you did? You broke yourself.
No, no.
I'm going to come in. I'm going to call the item agenda, and then we may have to go back. Yes.
Do we want to do the minutes for November now that Jeff's here?
Sure.
Let him get set up.
Let him get set up.
I'm ready.
You ready?
And I can't vote on.
Yeah, you can't for November.
Yeah, November, yes.
Yeah, we did the December already.
Go ahead. Approval of the minutes for November 20, 2024.
So move.
Got a motion to move?
I'll second.
Any comments? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Do we want to do the chair and vice chair selection now too, or wait till next month?
We'd probably better do it today. It's January. Are we going to have Danielle?
She's not here.
No, she's not here.
She said she wasn't going to be at this meeting.
That's right. She said that last week.
Okay. No, we ought to do that being January. I think we had, it was before you were council. We had this discussion, and I know that needs to happen.
As long as you have a majority, that's all you need anyway.
Yeah.
So, who wants to be the chair?
No.
Come on, everybody, not all at once.
I'll move that we nominate Jeff Fowle chair.
I will accept.
Second? All those in favor? Oh, we have this roll call, right?
Correct.
Did you second it?
I'll second it.
Oh, you seconded it, okay. Yeah, roll call. So Commissioner Hart?
Yes.
Commissioner Mello?
Yes.
Commissioner Veal?
Yes.
And Chair Fowle, obviously, yes.
You want to pass it, I'll take it.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
now, we need the vice chair, right? Now, you want to take it from here?
I can.
Okay.
So open nominations for vice chair.
I'm open. I'm going to nominate Tony.
Tony for vice chair, second?
I'll second.
Okay.
Been okay. Moved and seconded. Vice chair, Commissioner Tony Mello. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Hart?
Yes.
Commissioner Veal?
Yes.
Chair Fowle?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mello.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Hey, I'm almost to the point now that I have internet.
No, that's about the only thing we
still have. Does the new room have internet?
Yeah.
Are they going to put internet into here that is reliable?
Good question. We'll talk about it after the meeting.
Okay.
CAO is we're on our own.
All right. So, let me go back here. Email from Janine.
Well, I have a hard copy if you need it.
Too late now. I've already got it. Okay, so here's our agenda.
Did you see the one I... Because I forgot to attach 5 and I sent you
that. I got the packet, yes.
Okay.
The additional packet, correct.
That's just that document.
Okay, so have you gone through the protocol?
Yeah.
Yes.
You have.
Yeah, okay. We are right at new business, sir.
Here at new business, agenda item 1, visioning and guiding principles status review. I'm guessing this will be Ms. Lang.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's very timely today because I have a new list.
Okay, sounds good. Good morning, Haley Lang, Planning Director. So before you all this morning is the updated or revised visioning and guiding principles. So we had all convened October 15th for the joint board and commission workshop with the consultant team present to, you know, discuss the drafted visioning and guiding principles. So after that, you know, very long comprehensive meeting, we took the feedback back and revised the vision and guiding principles is what you see today. And so, you know, internally talking with staff and also our internal TAC, we felt that, you know, the guiding principles would be best formatted in kind of a more high level view, you know, generally supported statements with consensus. And then, you know, throughout the process, when we're dealing with specific objectives and policies, that's where we would kind of drill down on certain details that, you know, the county would like to see. One, you know, thing to note is that the board, you know, was strongly pushing for more of a bullet point sort of format, and so that's why you see that today under, you know, the revised draft. And so, going through these revisions, under countywide vision options, we do have a paragraph option one, and then a bullet point format option under option two. And then under all of the guiding principles, we went ahead and created a bullet point format for that. This was, vetted through the internal TAC. They had no substantial comments. Additionally, we met with Karuk Tribe a few weeks ago on their consensus, and they provided some feedback. Again, it was a little bit more drilled down and detailed, so we will accept those comments, but we feel like they might be better suited in a different part of the document, maybe under specific policies. And then lastly, so the intent today, we would like to get some sort of consensus from the commission to, recommend these visioning guiding principles to the board. However, we will be allowed to change anything in the general plan document throughout the process, right? So it's probable or, possible that, you may all approve or recommend something today, and then, as we're going through the process and we're going through revisions of the plan elements, you might say, hey, wait a minute, I actually want that change. That's totally fine, right? So this isn't essentially an end-all be-all meeting today. We're just trying to get some general feedback, comment, and consensus in order to just move the process forward. And with that being said, in terms of process, the consultant team right now, they are drafting the plan elements currently or concurrently that they're procured to work on, right? So the land use element, noise element, open space and conservation elements, right? Those are the ones that they're writing for us. In addition, they're starting or we're having early discussions about zoning code update, what that's going to look like, our wants and needs for that. So there's a lot of moving pieces going on right now with general plan preparation, and this is just one of the many. So with that, I will conclude my comments, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Commissioner Beal.
The only thing I didn't see in there definitively was a statement of a right to farm. I see agriculture.
I see that somewhere.
Uh-huh.
It is in there?
Right. Well, no, it describes a robust agriculture.
Yeah. But the such language right to farm, which is in many counties, I think, should that be in there, a more definitive description?
Let's see.
I guess maybe here's a more direct question.
Yes.
The existing county policy and ordinance, which declares a right to farm.
Correct.
Will not go into the great abyss.
Correct.
With the passage of a new general plan.
Correct. That's something.
Does that answer your question?
I guess that's
because that's already in place. Yeah. It's not going to be set aside.
Correct.
With the adoption of an updated general plan.
Yeah, that will not be modified or changed, and that's something that will be carried through.
All you have to do is look at Proposition J in Sonoma County, and you better understand what the reason for that is.
Okay.
Yeah, through the chair. Scott Valley plan will not be affected by this as it's set, right?
No, that's separate.
I understand. Thank you. I just want to make damn sure.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions?
The other thing was that the supervisor, Nancy Ogren, talked about a communication with the Karuk tribe, and I think that's really important to define that, because there's some things goes on that we should have input greater than just the discussion.
Correct, yeah, and we intend to continue a relationship with Karuk. James has been awesome because he used to work there previously, so he, knows a lot of folks there. And actually this afternoon, him and I are meeting with the Karuk Housing Authority just on how we can collaborate and maybe, projects we can work on together. So that is something that we intend to carry forward, and that can definitely be reflected in our general plan as well.
Commissioner Bell?
Yes, sir. I have a comment. I don't know if this is the time to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Vacation rentals.
Mm-hmm.
Still a pain in my butt. If a permit has been issued to construct a home on a non-currently non-conforming lot, then that parcel should be able to apply for a vacation rental, because if they were allowed to build a home in the first place on a non-conforming lot, all the other crap is null and void as far as I'm concerned. They should be able to apply for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Okay.
Twice now since I've been sitting there, one of them I went was a classmate of mine in high school.
Mm-hmm.
They had to sell their home because they could not get a permit because it wasn't on 2.5 acres.
Mm.
There are 9 homes within spitting distance.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not none of them up there are 2.5 acre minimums, but they're in the county.
Mm.
This is, it's a thing with me. It's a double standard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's wrong. So I don't know how we will address it, but I'm going to stay on it till it's corrected.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Martin.
I don't even know where to start. I went through this and I went through the comments from the first trial. How to meld them together. When political climate, the regulatory climate, and the actual physical climate out here, what you can and can't do. And then dealing with the state and federal Endangered Species Act, and Water Act, and Water Right Law. How do you put together a vision statement when what you would like to have happen, you have no control of it?
Mm.
No control. And with all the forces, they're doing everything, and we've already seen what's happened to the logging industry since 1995. But 14 mills, we have 2. Very shortly, there's going to be 1. The logging industry is pretty much gone from what it used to be. There's no logging on the national level. So that industry is pretty much gone from 95 on with this federalistic spotted owls. For about 7 years, we were losing 600 to 700 kids a year out of the school systems. So all those blue-collar jobs went away. Nothing's coming to replace it. You go through every one of these towns except for Mount Shasta and McLeod, they're ghost towns. Driving through Montague this morning, one business that's operated because of all the illicit activity out on A-12 that's growing.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning I have a pair of contractors come by, 7 to 7:30. I didn't even know that they're contractors. Pulling an excavator and a skid steer, clearing paths to put in more hothouses. A realtor out there, we had a person come in. They want every lot that they can come up with through that realtor firm out there, anything $75,000 or less. So they have buyers. So you have that growth going on uncontrolled. And the state not doing anything, the federal government not really doing anything to shut it down. I just don't know how to look into the crystal ball to put a vision statement here when you have agriculture being under attack, timber is gone, recreation, everybody's heard that for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we have that much recreation here, so I don't know how to even begin to address this. Well, I made a comment at our joint meeting that sense of community, I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But all the stuff that I'm involved in, all I see is an argument all the time. So I don't know how to, I know I'm being very pessimistic here, but I can't be optimistic about it because of everything I've been involved in and involved in right now in different aspects of running that business that I have. What I have to spend with legal counsel outside of the county to deal with that. I've had a ranch management plan that deals with my state and federal safe harbor for renewal sitting on the California Department of Fish and Game's desk in Redding for 2 years. It's just sitting there. The state wrote the plan. The Regional Water Quality Control Board wrote the plan. I don't know, I've looked at this and I've wrestled with this all weekend and I don't know what to say. I really don't.
I know what you're talking about.
through the chair. I went down and spoke to the staff at City Hall about vacation rentals. There are 55 permitted vacation rentals within the city limits of Mount Chancellor. They can only have 57. That's the magic number that somebody came up with. And I said, is there any special requirements? She said, just similar with what you do at the county. I said, what's your TOT? 12%. It's a revenue source for the county with these vacation rentals. I don't get it. And I don't know what they rent per day or whatever. Say it's $100. That's $12. And if that times 55, that's a pretty good chunk of change. It's almost $700. So.
Probably between $500 and $800 a day.
Whatever, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what they are. That's
but okay, the point is this. The county is freaking broke. It's a revenue source. Come on, guys. And we sit up here and try to do something I believe is right. And I say we. Here we are. Because we, each of us, I do believe, are truly concerned about this county and its well-being. And I don't know how to fix it. I concur.
I don't know how to, I don't know how agriculture could survive.
It has to.
It's not good.
It has to, because yesterday I was watching the news. California is still the fifth largest agriculture producer in the world. We used to be number four, did we not?
Used to be number two until
okay.
Newsom came to power.
Okay.
As soon as all the water got shut off, the ag started dropping one spot every year.
Well, Deer Valley was settled on rye. That's what got agriculture started. That is now all gone. It's all, we've got seven nurseries over there. It's the largest strawberry producing region in the world.
Yes.
They're all on groundwater. You've got Tule Lake that is relying on water out of the project. They're under the federal government contract. That has pretty much been curtailed.
Yes.
Tremendously. We have another curtailment order, emergency raid, that got handed down last week. The House of Scott, supposedly to come up with what's going to be required in both of these streams. In all of the stuff I've been involved in, I was on the federal task force, new project, we were tasked with looking at these three post things. I come up with 10 different methodologies to do that. They all focus in on 65% of the water remaining in stream to maximize fish production. In this valley alone, there was over 150,000 acres that were in the grain contract. That is completely gone. There's nothing left because they can't afford to get it transported out of here because of the price. In Big Springs alone, there were five dairies. There's none left. They're gone. I think we've got one dairy left in Shasta Valley. We have one left.
We have two.
Two.
We used to have four.
Used to have four. Those are all gone. So those businesses are going away because of the economic model. If you take the water off the landscape here for agriculture, what's going to come to replace it? We lost timber, we're about to lose agriculture, at least in Shasta and Scott. I don't know what's going to support county government because it's agriculture that pays the biggest tax bill in this country, in this county. Because you're going to go from value, tax value on irrigated ground to non-irrigated ground, which is about a fourth of value. Therefore, the county impact to them is that the county assessor's office is going to have to come back and go through to reevaluate all of that, which means less tax revenue. If those businesses can't make a living dry land farming, then they're going to lose their Williamson Act funding.
Contract.
That then drives the price up because the value goes up because it's going to get revalued at fair market value. They can't pay that bill. It's just a snowball effect. I don't know how to stop that. I don't know that the groups that want to put agriculture out of business understand that, or they do, and that's what they want to have happen. So I'm trying to wrap my mind around how do we put together look in the crystal ball of what we really want to have happen, but how do you ensure that it does happen for the planning process?
So this is a question. AP Cattle Company, this ranch just came on the market. 14,000 acres. How much was it? 12 million or?
17, sir.
17 million.
16.9.
Okay, that's not going to, somebody's not going to go in there and say, okay, I want to be a rancher and spend that money. So what's
actually, yeah, the proposal's already in.
Is it? For a ranch?
Well, we're doing it. Two of them.
Well, we're doing it. Here I go.
Okay, and here's another thing.
One of them's not for a ranch, so two of them are. Two of them
two
are
ranch,
still,
one's not.
Yep.
Well, that's what I'm concerned. What's the other?
The other one, Josh and Zach won't go for.
Josh and Zach.
The boys.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Oh, I see.
Yep.
Josh knew.
Yep.
It's just like water. Water, years ago, when I was on the board of directors for the Siskiyou League of Cities and Sacramento Valley Division, that water was a big issue then. And it still is. So what do? They take four dams off the Klamath River, hydroelectric, they want everything to go electric, and they take four hydroelectric plants down. I don't get it. What's all that storage water? What's going to happen? What's happening to the groundwater up there in the valleys and north of there? Are the wells still there, or are they dry now?
You know, there's a new player here that just happened last week with that fire down in L.A., and those people are going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And they're going to go north, right? And everything goes north is going to push those people north, right? I could see an influx of population coming to this county.
I would agree, except for what this man just said.
Well,
look at it now, though. We haven't changed population.
No.
Numbers from 95 to now, we've changed the demographic. The young adult families with kids in the school systems with those jobs we've become a bedroom community. That doesn't create a sustainable tax-based wealth, because even if agriculture goes away, those properties are not going to stand still for a tax increase, but they still demand the services. And it's, you know, we're no different than any other place. I just read an article this morning. There's been a huge argument with Point Reyes, National Seashore, just signed Monday. 12 of the 14 farms and ranches there are going away in 15 months. They're out for $30 million. TNC is buying it and giving it to the government.
I knew one of the ranches just
right. So, you know, when you talk about what you're talking about, people want to get out of there. That's what happened with the Paradise Farm. A lot of people come up here and everyone just has to get. There's certain things you can do with land, with zoning, but then you're going to have to come in here if you want to cut it up. Scott Valley, I don't know what's going to happen there with the general plan. If you lose water, then it reverts and you can cut it up. It's just.
But do you see new subdivisions going in without? Boy, they're going to have regulations to that subdivision, and they're going to say, we're going to cluster those houses, and you're going to have clearing around them. Insurance companies
are. I don't see that here.
No, I.
Yet.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
That's.
Well, maybe. But
that's the plan. That isn't going to be. You won't see another Shastina develop. I can't see that.
Okay, any more questions here before
no,
I start?
No, go ahead. I'm going ahead. Okay. On the sofa.
So, council and staff have a mission for you. I've been in several meetings the last 9 days when I haven't been on a basketball court. The Southern fires have created an opportunity, particularly with a change in administrations in D.C. to do some unique planning and negotiating
over the course of the next 2 years. And through the discussion on this general plan, you all are aware I've been harping on maintaining existing access roads that were created for the numerous fires that we've had in our county. Council, here is your challenge: to come up with language representing the county of Siskiyou that clearly delineates creating safe buffer spaces between wilderness and private land, which would allow for thinning and fuel load reduction on wilderness land, X number of feet from all private land. We know that the limitations of fighting fire and using fire as a tool in wilderness will never be allowed. That's a given. But there is an opportunity with the new administration to add language to how wilderness lands are managed, in part where they buffer private property. That language alone will, aided by access, fuel breaks, etc., could create an opportunity for meetings that we've been in with insurance companies, specifically on fire policies, dealing with the ability of insurance companies to be able to come back into the state to insure timber and ag property, where inspections can be done to verify that fuel load risk has been minimized or mitigated. It's the only way. One of the challenges, yes, water is a big challenge. The bigger challenge right now for a lot of the ranches and farms in Scott Valley is there is no insurance available except for the FAIR plan, and the FAIR plan will not cover enough for us to get operating loans. It's one thing to lose water if you can't get a loan to borrow money. Money and water go hand in hand. Without either one, we're not in business. Shasta Valley, to an extent, around the periphery, insurance definitely, yes, is an issue. But Scott Valley, the way that the insurance commission has identified, and along with insurance companies, where fires have happened, where fuel load is high, we are working on the ability to have agents come in or representatives. One of the options is it would be a CAL FIRE team would come in and inspect and say, hey, this operation is 1 mile from high risk wildfire. We can do that if we can create some buffer zones on wilderness. We can do that step-by-step basis. We can continue to fight the water fight, but the insurance fight, we've got to have it on the landscape to have that option. If we don't have it on the landscape, we're doomed. So that's the challenge that I present to council and staff, because we've got two congressmen, one from Oregon, one from California, that are willing, able, and they have staff wanting to work on this from a federal level.
Okay. Let me ask you some questions then, or at least one. When you say added language and creating a buffer zone, are you envisioning change to federal statutes?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's changing. And this goes back to several years ago. I may be dating myself. There was an idea, while it was entertaining, the term was called collaboration. This would be more than collaboration. Collaboration under the law was local, county, state and federal agencies would have a meeting of the minds to come up with policy, which sounded all rosy and everybody sings and sits in a circle and sings kumbaya. This is beyond collaboration. This is putting in the record legislatively on the federal level that Siskiyou County, Modoc County, Del Norte, Humboldt, etc., enter into a formal agreement with the federal government that creates buffer zones of X size distance that would be managed for a fuel load of X where it borders private property. And that would open up those areas for the, whether it be logging, whether it be masticators, whether it be CAL FIRE coming in, doing controlled burns, eliminate that fuel risk, the fuel load. Once the fuel load's reduced, now the wildfire risk, according to insurance ledgers, drops. And if that's far enough away from private land and meets with the insurance company's risk assessment, now we can start to get full insurance at a reasonable rate for full coverage and be able to borrow money. Fair Plan does not allow that. Brad.
Why do you call it buffer zone and not a fire break?
So break is bare land.
Yes.
A buffer is where you still have existing old growth, new growth, but the canopies are not touching. Your underbrush has been cleared, and every year you can take and throw a match on 1 million acres and walk away from it. It'll burn, snow puts it out, you're not sterilizing the ground, it remains healthy. It's what the Indians did generations ago. It's what my grandpa used to do coming out of the Alps. It's what Hayden's used to do coming out of the Alps. Last cowboy out, tossed a match, it went up in fire, it was out 2 weeks later with the snow. No loss, grass came back, meadows were good. We were no longer able to do that in wilderness. That's the difference between a buffer and a fuel break. Fuel breaks work in the moment, but not long term.
Well, they're a joke when they say that fuel break is 3 cap blades long wide.
Fuel breaks are used to slow a fire, not stop a fire.
100 mile an hour windstorms.
Right.
That you could have a fuel break 100 miles long, no one do any good for 100.
Other questions, Counselor? Do you have further questions? So yes, federal legislation, which is a formal binding agreement between the federal government and counties with wilderness land.
Well, either federal legislation or an agreement with specific counties.
It needs to be legislative. If it is not legislative, it can be overridden by executive order. And we have a Klamath Forest supervisor right now that is very willing to work with us. The Trinity also is willing to work with us, as is the Modoc.
Well, how do we, what you're asking council to do, what are you asking him specifically to do that the Planning Commission have no, are you asking for political support?
So this is coming as a directive from the commission to staff and council to look at what kind of language could we use legislatively in order to set up a meeting between our county supervisors with our county council with neighbor Trinity Modoc to sit down with congressional representation, U.S. Forest Service, as well as their counterparts in the Klamath and the Trinity, and they sit around a table with staff and they draft language that opens up whatever that buffer zone is on wilderness land and codifies legislative language that allows reduction of fuel load where it borders private property. But it's got to be language that the county can live with, because county has their concerns, and it's going to have to be federal, because U.S. Forest Service is obviously going to have their concerns, because they're in charge of wilderness.
Okay, let me...
Go ahead.
Slow you down right there. We're off topic. What's on the agenda?
I think this ties directly into the general plan, though.
Yes, I agree.
A 50-year outlook.
Well, I want to hear what council's got to say here, because what you're... That should have been part of the agenda discussion. I'm just looking at Brown Act.
Okay, here. Okay, I get you.
Right,
I got
so I guess what you're asking council to come up with is language and a resolution that we could present to the supervisor that they can go forward, but we're not going to really incorporate that at this point into this visionary document.
I would back up and say I think we can. I would like to see language reflected. If we look, I think most applicable would be in...
Natural resources.
Hazards, safety, and wildfire preparedness, or the natural resources and scenery section, where we have in the plan that the county, as long as this commission is in favor of putting language like this in, supporting buffer zones and wilderness areas where it borders private property in an effort to reduce fuel loads, ensuring businesses to secure insurance, or something to that effect. Because this plan is how we manage the landscape in Siskiyou County to ensure a thriving economy, as well as protecting the environment and the scenery. But we aren't going to have thriving business, and we aren't going to have a healthy environment and beautiful scenery if we can't protect all of that or have the means to do that. And our biggest threat, one, is state with water, and two, is management of federal lands due to fire. Cal Fire is working their butt off with their limited budget over in Scott Valley. We're going to have all kinds of controlled burns next spring along the east side. I bet there's probably close to $1 million now that has gone in equipment, getting rid of juniper, sagebrush, and getting ready for burns. But we need to see that on the federal level, particularly on the western slope of this county. You look at the potential threats to Horse Creek, Syad, Happy Camp, work your way downriver. We have a fire every other year that is threatening one or more of those communities. And that's on the county. We need those communities to thrive and survive. But if there's too much risk, the businesses won't be able to get insurance. The communities will die.
To fill that out, that what you need is that biomass outlet, so that you can take that and use it. If you don't
add value to the product,
if you don't have a biomass place to back it, it's right now Cal Fire's dropping trees in the park up here at Greenhorn, and they're laying them down. Just leave them down. Guys up there with the chainsaw and having fun, but there they sit. That doesn't make sense. I mean,
they'll disappear.
Rock.
No, the trees Cal Fire is dropping, they're either on some private land, the shrubbery and the juniper, they're getting burned. On others where
it's... I'm talking about the large stuff.
They have contracts with individuals that will be cutting them either for firewood, or they're going to be going on trucks when they have enough, headed out with the salvage to the salvage mill. And some of them will be headed all the way to Vernon.
Because they sure not doing anything over in Alpine with the down trees.
If it's a Cal Fire contract, Cal Fire contracts, these fuel load reductions they're doing on state and private lands, that woody material is headed somewhere under the contract.
Nancy Ogren said that they're working with other counties for a biomass facility. Have you heard that? And Emerson's involved in it?
Specifically heard that there was a move between Tuolumne County and Siskiyou County to have a facility placed in one of the two. We lost out to Tuolumne County on that one. But we were looking at putting that in the cloud area, the industrial site down there. Just it's the town. It's all going to be, you know, market driven.
Yes. Well,
there's a need of it, so.
Market driven for the electricity. The,
yeah.
And Pacific Power doesn't play friendly with additional power coming into the grid.
Well, they may have to.
Through the chair.
Yes.
Years ago, they used to have a thing called a CCC. When I was a kid, they went up on the side of Mount Shasta. There had been a fire many years before me. They went up, cleaned out all the brush, burned it, and replanted trees. Why can't they have something like that? It would give people jobs. It would teach young people skills.
They still have the CCC.
They do?
Yeah. The office is just up the road here.
Okay. Do they do anything?
Yep. They do trail clearing and work with CAL FIRE. We've had some CCC guys.
Well, that's nice to know. I didn't know that existed. Yep. So.
And they do all the cleanup and whatnot at all the fire camps.
Cool.
We usually have 40 of them over there in Scott Valley every year.
Good. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Through the chair.
Yes.
Just regarding your last conversation, I'd suggest under guiding principles, hazard safety and wildfire for preventiveness as far as the vision statement goes.
I think that's where I was.
Just to add in some language that refers to large-scale wildfire buffers, collaboration with the federal government. They're all
pursue partnerships with federal, tribal, and state parties. Because we don't want Siskiyou County to be responsible financially for that burden. It needs to be a partnership.
Well, if the land belongs to the feds, if it's their trees, they should do it.
Yeah.
I know. Talk's cheap, takes money to pay the rent, but I'm on the same page you are, Commissioner Chair Fowler. But
so that's
my frustration.
It's where I was headed, and I wasn't sure exactly how to word it until these fires in the south hit. And then in my sleepless nights, waiting for ibuprofen to kick in, I've formulated, and I've been on multiple calls, conference calls, meetings, with this very discussion in preparing for the next Secretary of Interior and how they could positively impact the western states.
Okay, so how come you haven't included Shasta T?
Included what?
Shasta T.
Oh, the Scott Valley Karoo?
No, Shasta Trinity.
Oh, Trinity is included. Shasta, their ranger has not been on any of the calls. The Trinity has. Shasta has not. MODOC has also. Yeah, MODOC and Siskiyou and Trinity are the three supervisors who have been engaged.
They spent a tremendous amount of money.
Oh, I know they have.
Brandon was all the way from Weed all the way around to 89, yep. And then up going up the side of the mountain, putting in fuel breaks. I just figured they ought to be a part of it.
Yep.
Well, as to developing a amendments, federal statutes and all that. I agree with Commissioner Hart. We probably did wander off from where we should have been the agenda item because I was too busy trying to take it all in. But anyways, I think the thing to do would be probably to bring it back as a request to staff to look into this, and we'll bring it back to you in the next month or so.
Through the chair, and I do like the wording that you requested, which is pursue partnerships with federal, tribal, and state agencies, because in addition, that could mean other types of projects as well. That would be a benefit for county.
Yeah. And not just wildfire.
Correct.
Flood,
yep, exactly.
Landslide, earthquake, you name it, but
absolutely.
We're being driven by something that is real
yep.
and current that can uncover, encompass other risks.
Yes.
Okay, so that was mine. Then I did have a second question follow-up. So getting this staff report today, mm-hmm. are you asking for action by us to direct you / the consultants on whether we want verbose, whether we want bullet point, or whether we want a hybrid?
So direction I am seeking, so under the revised draft, the December 2024 draft, two things, right? One being your preference to option one or option two under countywide visions. And in addition, you know, general consensus under guiding principles, did you read something and you're like, absolutely not, or did you read something and, you know, want some strengthening of wording per se? Those are really the two main, you know, elements we're seeking direction on. Because like I said, it's probably likely as we continue to go through this process that there will still be modifications, right? But just, you know, general consensus to make sure we're at least moving in the right direction with certain priorities, albeit high-level priorities.
When's this thing due? 26?
There's, well, so in terms of the visioning guiding principles, there's no date per se, but we should have a drilled down consensus so the consultants know kind of which way to go in terms of how they're writing elements, right? The certain tone that should be reflected, maybe, you know, policies that will be brought forward for all of those elements, right? Because, you know, for example, right? Supporting agricultural, that's a general statement, right? But then you're not going to write policies and have certain tones within the elements that dissuade it from agricultural growth, right? So just trying to be on a certain trajectory.
So when's it due?
I'll just say that the vision statement portion of this needs to be complete and pretty solid in the upper beginning portion of this, right? Because it's going to...
It guides everything else.
Take,
yes.
It takes us to the next level, yes.
Yeah, as far as the general plan update being completed, the 2026-27.
Right. And to add on that, we would like to bring this forward to the board for their consensus in February, March at the latest, just because we're starting to...
of this year?
Correct, yeah, because we're starting to write the plan element, you know, the element language, in addition to gearing up for the zoning code update, which is going to be probably the most comprehensive portion of this whole update, in addition to starting the notice of preparation... NOP EIR process, which is gonna, you know, gear up summer months. So we don't want to be too in the weeds with this while there's those action items that are kind of on the horizon in these next few months.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I can't support this. I won't support this until who generated this document?
Staff did, yeah.
Or did the consultants generate?
Staff did. So we generated the December 2024 draft, but the consultants did generate, staff generated the December 2024 draft, and then the consultants generated the September 2024 draft,
okay.
Predominantly.
So when did this document come?
From the Karuk?
Yep.
Gosh, we received that comment letter from them 2 weeks? December, the end of December. So we met with Karuk in December, middle of December, and then they provided, you know, we had a verbal, you know, in-person meeting with them. They, you know, reflected their comments verbally, but then they had sent us their write-up, you know, the end of December.
Okay. So how are you incorporating their comments into this. Because to me right now, it's this, with their comments, but I don't see how we're going to incorporate. I like what they've written here.
Okay, yeah.
I really like what they have
know,
written.
I know who worked on this, and so, and it's like they get it better than whoever did the original.
Okay. And I would like to have them in front of us.
Okay. Yeah.
Before we do anything with this,
who's them?
Okay.
The Brewers
Tribe.
Yeah.
I want them in the room.
Okay.
Their language shows an actual understanding
of
on the ground.
But I want to have a discussion with them and some of the comments they have here about agriculture when agriculture is faced with the issue in the Shasta and Scott with protected species.
Okay.
Let me go back to grain farming in the Shasta Valley. The grain farmers that were out here. When I first got on the RCD board in 1984, the 83 Farm Bill came out with CRP that paid you not to grow. And that was based on hell ground, highly erodible lands based on wind and water soil erosion. Everything in the Shasta Valley went into that. So all the grain farmers are out here are under 10-year contracts being paid so much an acre to not farm. They took a lot of those families and they divided those big properties up into different ownerships so that the husband owned 1,000 acres, the spouse, or the wife and the kids, so they got this huge government payment because it was more money coming in their pocket than what they could do to raise that product. So all that's gone, but they're still making a living off of a government program. That doesn't provide any economic, agricultural, enterprise opportunities at all. Because that program just keeps rolling over and over and over.
Well, not anymore, it's canceled.
It'll be back. Mm-hmm. They're not gonna go back into production. You don't have the rainfall to grow any grain on dry land ground around here anymore. I mean, they can't even get cover crops to grow. So looking at what the tribe has provided, I want to understand how we're going to go forward with this, with groundwater management, with surface water management. It's all going to change. Great big huge article in Capital Press here 2 weeks ago in Merced County. Quite a community down there from India that have come in here in the last 20 to 30 years and bought a lot of ground, and all of a sudden they get this great big tax bill with this new fee for Sigma, and the banks are forcing them into bankruptcy because they can't pay the loan.
That's right.
So
that same article.
I'm trying to, that's why I'm being pessimistic about this vision statement. I want to understand how the tribe wants to push this. How are you going to help us make this happen? When you look at the price of power, it just keeps going up and up and up. Got a meeting tonight at 6 o'clock to deal with fees to
the
run Sigma.
Yep.
And I'm looking, if those guys can't make it down there where they've got a 280 to 300 day a year growing opportunity and a more valuable crop than what we can grow around here, and they can't make it fly, how are we going to make it fly?
What's Sigma again?
State groundwater management.
Okay. Yeah. So that, and I don't know that the tribe fully understands that economy that we have to deal with when we're going to be limited on what we can do water-wise. So it's a huge impact on it. I don't know that everybody truly realizes it, because once something gets cut up, it's never going back.
Through the chair.
Yes.
Just a general framing. It's a general plan, right, that we're doing. These are all world problems that are crazy and difficult to deal with. Our best mechanism to try to move forward these particular issues are adapting our ordinances to move in favor of that. There's only so much that we can do with the general plan to solve these issues. Kind of get out. So, for example, Sky Valley Area Plan, trying to preserve agriculture. They have an 80-acre minimum for AG2 grant, mm-hmm. right? Potentially, if you want to preserve agriculture, make that countywide, for example. Mm-hmm. We're trying to look at opportunities to allow more production, so to speak, or manufacturing, processing on portions of ag ground to give other opportunities for the farmers to make a living, basically. Those are the kinds of things that we can affect. We can't dictate what the water's going to do, you know, with this. So I'm just...
But that's exactly why I want the tribe in here. I want their input. They're a huge part of the community. They can... I don't know that they fully understand what has happened, what some are pushing. Be careful what you want. You may get exactly what you don't want. And so that's why I value their input. I really do.
And I guess that's where my hesitation comes in on this. I'm trying to be very cognizant of the language used in this general plan for the very reason you stated, that it is going to guide ordinances and policies. And I will use the example you brought up. Yes, the Scott Valley land plan has larger acreage minimums for ag, which in the 70s and 80s sounded like a great idea. They were not faced with the same realistic limitations that we are facing immediately now. And I don't want a general plan with language that leads to policies and ordinances that spreads that throughout the county and ties the hands of the private property owner to not being able to go smaller than that when they don't have the insurance and the water to make that pay and force them into bankruptcy. That is not our job. Our job is to try to help them thrive in Siskiyou County. Now, I'm not saying you drop the minimums down to 5, but there's got to be an easy, cost-effective way for them to change that to keep their nose above water.
What would you do? What crop would you do that would facilitate that?
We're limited. I mean, that's Jim Morris is having some success with carrots, but it's been profitable 1 out of 4 years. And it's a very intense crop.
Yeah.
We have no market for grain because of the water not being allowed in the Central Valley for rice. They pay them to not use the rice, but they get the spring rain, so they still plant grain, and they're putting it up for grain and hay, which depleted our hay market. And you get several hundred thousand tons of excess grain hay on the market. Dairies buy it instead of alfalfa. That's why our hay market plummeted, because the Central Valley growers got paid not to use water, but were not restricted on being able to grow something, which hammered us. And we have a reduction in water by 30%+ due to the E-rates. We grow less, it's worth less, yet power and fuel have gone up. And so the state's screwing us. We've got to figure out how the county can protect us. That's why this is important.
Exactly. You said something about having an ordinance in place before you can do something with the general plan, or I misunderstand you.
Well, just in the makeup of the general plan, it's like, what can we do effectively within that to shift the direction, which is basically the vision?
The vision guides the decisions for the next 25 years.
I understand that, the vision, okay.
We want to add more manufacturing in Siskiyou County, and we need to find ways to create zones, other parcels. We're very limited for manufacturing zone properties that are industrial. Right, so we would focus on trying to create more of that.
Okay.
If we want to have more agriculture and allow people to have options to better survive, then we could create an area. We already started this with the Williamson Act rules to set aside 5 acres or 5% of a ranch, so to speak, to do other things like cut firewood, for example, or mill lumber or whatever. Those are things that we can affect through our ordinances.
Okay. Through our ordinance, which will be incorporated into the general plan?
Yes.
Thank you.
It's part of it, right?
Okay.
And the overall goal is to try to include more that is allowed outright without going through the process, owner's process for conditional use permits and so forth. Just try to taper that down some more.
Yeah, and that's why the EIR process is going to be really important, right? So if we're wanting to, as you know, Rick said, allow more things outright, that has to be, you know, evaluated. So that's why that process is going to be really important, so we can try to streamline for, you know, uses for some people. So
I got a question for you, sir. The Scott Valley plan has a minimum of so many acres, blah blah blah. Do you think that is good to remain, or should it be changed? This is just,
I'm in the camp where I think it needs to be revisited.
Okay.
I think there are areas of Scott Valley where there is a higher assurance of water delivery due to soil type, location, water rights, as it plays into where I think minimum flows are going. And there are other areas of Scott Valley that were, at the time, it may have been appropriate to be zoned Ag 1. There are a lot of acres in Scott Valley that legitimately have an Ag 1 label that would more accurately, and the Dawes place was a prime example of that, on Moffitt. That is not Ag 1. It's barely Ag 2. Is it time for us to take a look at a lower level Ag 3? Or do we say, hey, that's simply a rural residential 20 acre minimum, not even Ag 2?
Well, that's
because there are areas that either due to the ordinance and limitations with new wells and potential impacts to public trust, unless they can go deeper or add a well, they are not getting water. That land is not producing. They don't get the rainfall for dry land like we once did. We don't have management in the uplands to allow for more snow to actually reach the ground, freeze, and provide runoff. So if we are, as a society, are reducing the available water, the value of that land as ag land is diminished. And so the labels of the property are not accurate today as it was in the 80s. And I think that probably could be said for places in the Shasta as well.
Yep.
You're going to have some kind of relief for people. You know, if you're zoned in Scott Valley or you're zoned Williamson Act, you all of a sudden get put out of business. What else are you going to do on that property? What's the escape hatch to be able to cut it up, which you don't really want to do? I just, you know, let's just take from Edgewood to the fish hatchery, Old State Road. That was three ranches. Hammond's owned the biggest portion of it. And we got it now. We got all those, there's a lot of money that got cut up. Should it have ever been cut up? I don't know. And, but there's some bigger parcels there. And all of a sudden we're going to change this, and I don't know whether they're under Wooden Act or not. If you allow some type of industrial use to come in on those properties, what kind of a legal situation is the county going to get in, because all of a sudden people have come in and bought a smaller lot, put in $1.5 million home, and all of a sudden we got an industrial site across the road that we didn't contemplate. How do you get through that legal mess? And I don't understand how you get around that CEQA.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be built in, right? There'd be levels of what you could do processing-wise. On, say, an ag ground, 5-acre piece on the corner or whatever, right? You're not going to bring in smokestacks and all crazy stuff without some kind of use permit. But there'd be low-level things that we could allow outright that could go there that are not too egregious.
So that gets folded into the existing zoning?
It would be folded in, yeah. And it, as far as what uses are allowed outright,
land use or
mm-hmm. Yes. So does that have to go through the public review process to come back to us
mm-hmm.
so that everybody in the community gets notified about it?
Yep. Okay. Correct.
Not just in an individual project, but as the overall planning for this area, this can happen here.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like for us to do today? Are we supposed to vote on something?
Well, that's why I was asking what our task or direction from staff, what you're asking for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with Commissioner Hart to an extent.
Yeah.
I am left wanting in the staff report.
Mm-hmm.
I am given hope by the Karuk comments, which I find refreshing. And the further we go in this process, the individuals who are the consultants that we are working with may be very nice people. They don't get Siskiyou County.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And their phrasing and language reflect that.
Sure.
And I know the comments that we provided them when the supervisor and I were in the meeting at the old hospital,
mm-hmm.
the comments that were provided to them at our joint meetings, I am still not seeing reflected in the documents being presented back to us any significant influence of the comments being given to them by those of us whose heads are on the chopping blocks, per se.
Mm-hmm. So then my question for you, is it the or the commission's appetite to have some representatives from Karuk? We could try to get them in for the March Planning Commission and have, I guess, somewhat of a workshopping with the draft.
Do we need to wait till March? Can we shoot for February?
We could check in with them, see what their schedule's like, and we can
try
to hold
for the next 45
a special
days.
Meeting.
If you could work with them between now and then and see how you can meld their comments into what you guys have provided here so that we have
Yeah.
I don't want either or, I want to see how it all fits together.
Okay.
There you go.
Is there possible that we could have a non-scheduled commission meeting and have a workshop?
I believe per Brown Act, you know, if it's more than two, right, there would have to be a scheduled special meeting. That's agendized and posted,
but just,
I believe.
Let me see if I get this correct, and then I'll let you continue.
Okay.
A published notice. Workshop with the planning commissioners and a specific agenda for discussion of the general plan, and in the audience I would want Karuk invited. I would also add to that the Siskiyou County the growth
Economic
EDC, Cattlemen, Farm Bureau, trying to think, the timber, what's the timber group now? CARE.
I don't know if it still exists.
Yeah, I don't think CARE does, but I think Women and Timber still are active. Annette, I think, is still involved in that.
Okay.
But the various portions of our community in our county, Karuk gave great input.
Right.
And I think you know, to an extent, Farm Bureau's got their hands full with a whole nother deal right now, but cattlemen aren't doing a darn thing. They can come in here and talk.
Okay.
But a workshop to discuss this and get the input, how do we put this together?
What you're talking about is what I railed against in our joint meeting about sense of community. Mm-hmm. This would build sense of community.
Yes.
To me.
Yeah.
So, Bill, what are the ins and outs of what would be allowed?
Well, yeah, if we can have a special meeting, it probably clean us perhaps to choose a date now and vote on it, have the Planning Commission approve it, and we would agendize it as otherwise we would like a regular meeting. If the Planning Commission just wanted to have two members meet with the tribe or something like that, that would not have to be agendized at all. But otherwise, probably the best thing to do would really to choose a special
all
meeting.
Of us,
all of us.
All of
us.
No,
all
want
of us.
This public meeting.
Okay. Yes, sir. Well, then we should probably choose a date for the meeting to vote on it.
Would be not to wait
through the chair and council. So, by law, we're required to consult with the tribes, not specifically the Karuk tribe. There's a whole list of other tribes.
Well, by all means, absolutely. Invite the Shasta.
Invite anybody that needs to be here.
It needs to be all inclusive. To cover our...
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Now, is there, and this is more for my clarification because of the discussions I've been in, on the northeastern corner of Siskiyou County, is there a partial inclusion of the Klamath? Or no? Are they still recognized on the California side of the border in the southeast or the northeast portion of Siskiyou County?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I'll double check.
Oh, what's the tribe that's out here at the second service station? What tribe is that?
Oh, that's the Alturas Rancheria.
Well,
that's part of the Modoc.
Modoc, okay.
And also the Brazzy place, you have the Hoopa, are here.
Where's that?
Just south of town. The Hoopa are partners with Alturas Rancheria on that place.
Yes.
On the gas station?
Yes.
That's
where
the
catalyst is going.
Back yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mr. Phelps?
I'm privy to.
How many tribes are on our list that we.
We have the Shasta tribe. We have a whole list in the county offices of the tribes that we have to consult with. We've already sent letters to those tribes. Several tribes have indicated interest. The Karuk tribe and the Shasta tribe are the only ones that have indicated interest in consulting.
Then by all means, formal invitation.
That's
to
right.
This
and then the ball's in their court.
Yeah, absolutely.
You bet.
And there's the two Shasta tribes, right? Shasta Nation and the Shasta Indians.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So does that include Wintun then too?
Wintun's on our list.
It's on the list.
Yeah, I know Wintun is,
okay.
Yeah,
well,
for sure.
You want to build a sense of community, you include everybody in the
That's
community.
It.
Let's have a powwow.
That's it. Big one. Then we'll know where we're going.
So we all better get on the same page. There isn't going to be any capital left.
So I'm thinking out loud here. We need...
Or, you know, it could just be not a special meeting. It could just be put on the next February meeting. Kind of thinking.
I'll tell you. Yeah, let's answer that question first. What's the pipeline? What's
Ranch.
In the pipeline for February?
J.H. Ranch Land Development.
Oh,
for February.
Yeah, and also we're bringing back an update on the Shasta Way Road abandonment.
Which one?
Okay.
So, and those will both be public hearings.
Okay. So,
what's the second one?
Shasta Way, the road abandonment that we discussed a few months
and then
ago.
We have an
update.
We held it off.
Hmm?
Or did you guys act on that in December?
No.
Yeah.
So, we've been working internally to figure out a process, so we'll update you on that and then where we're going, just as information.
Okay, so February, forget it. So here's my question to staff.
Mm-hmm.
If, thinking out loud, if we scheduled a special meeting with the community partners, specifically on the general plan,
mm-hmm.
for say March 5th, that would then give 2 weeks with the discussion that takes place there, or would 2 weeks be adequate for staff to synthesize the discussion and come back to us on our regular meeting on the 19th, or based on the meeting, the discussion that took place, this is what we have formulated and synthesized, and we can take an action on that, and that gets sent to the consultants. This is what we want.
So to clarify, potentially a special meeting March 5th, and then convening on that special meeting and the results from that on the 19th planning meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be okay in terms of agenda materials and things like that. We would likely post it on the 13th or 14th, so that would give staff about a week to
is that enough time?
Would that work for staff? Because in my mind, based upon what you told us, we were going to be hearing in February. We will probably, most likely, because of the sensitivity of the project.
Well said.
do something along the lines of continuing it to a date certain, which I'm pretty certain would not be the March meeting, and it will at earliest be April, May, or June, where that then comes back to us.
Okay.
The other item, it's an update. Does the March pipeline look more manageable at the regular meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
In terms of.
So then I'll come back. If we do special on the 5th, and that 2 week, 1 week for staff, to compile the discussion, to give us something to say, hey, yep, we can live with this. This is what the consultants need to get through their noggins.
You're talking 5th of March, you're talking 5th?
5th of March.
And that's a special meeting.
That would be a
special. Okay.
But we would still meet on our regular date on the 19th.
Yep. January, February, March.
Through the chair.
Yep.
So this room is going to be used for quite a few other meetings, and we do not currently have access to the calendar. We have to let the clerk know what our proposed dates are.
I was thinking about that.
Not the clerk. Not,
it's Chris Forrester at CAO.
Sorry, in the CAO's office.
I'm thinking of that, and I happen to know three supervisors who have a brand new facility, who, if we get in a jam over this and need a space, there's a spot right down the way. And they do not meet on Wednesdays.
Well, they told us that they were not allowed to use it.
Well, you know what? Three of the five is a majority, and we can get that rectified rather quickly.
Would you?
So my proposal would be, in case we, for whatever reason, are not able to use this meeting or the new board chambers, I would recommend that you select an alternate date just to...
Through the chair? I can email Chris Forrester right this minute and see if she...
All
right. I'll just send that email right now.
I don't want to
if she's there, good, hopefully she'll answer me.
This kind of is important.
Yeah.
Here. We'll do March 5th and we'll figure out a meeting location if need be. And then we can discuss on if we're having any scheduling issues with you, since you're the chair. Yep.
And worst case scenario, I mean, we've had it work at the Wairika City Chamber. I trust staff to find us a location.
Yeah.
You need a quick break, Tony?
Yes, sir.
All right. We will take a 5-minute recess.